Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the big show, everybody. It's the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media. I'm your host for the day, Stu Daniels. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for everybody that called in during the first hour. I got some great calls, some voices I haven't talked to in a while. It's nice to hear from everyone again. And as we were discussing in the previous hour, I've said before that I've tried to narrow things down. In fact, if you used to listen to Earl a few years ago when I was on his show every day, I would often say that there's one party that looks out for the billionaires and the corporations, and then there's another party that looks out for the people. And I think you know which parties I'm talking about, right? And as we were touching on a little bit in the previous hour, it seems that for Republicans these days, the cruelty is the point. It's like, how cruel can we be? It's like, who can we pick on next? What group can we go after next? I guess another way to boil things down is to say that there is one party that has respect for people, compassion for people, especially when they need help. And then there's another party that says cruelty is the point. How mean can we be? What can we say to upset the liberals? Well, here's a couple of examples. Okay, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. What do you think she had to say about that event that took place in New York City subway? Gentleman Jordan Neely having a difficult time, suffering from a mental health crisis on a subway, and he lost his life because of it. He was killed by a gung-ho former Marine who thought he could put an end to the uncomfortable situation that they were in. Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted this out. She said, "The Marine who stepped in to protect others is a hero. The left always chooses career violent criminals and or drug addicts as their heroes and martyrs. And communists, anarchists like AOC blow the dog whistle. Jordan Neely was a violent criminal who should have been behind bars." End quote. A tweet from Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. She said, "The left always chooses career violent criminals and or drug addicts as their heroes and martyrs." Well, I don't think that Jordan Neely was a career violent criminal. And he obviously suffered from some mental health issues, but everyone faces challenges. And his challenges could have been handled a lot differently, maybe with a little bit of compassion and a little bit of respect for the man who was dealing with a difficult situation. Instead, he was put into a headlock for 15 minutes. Until there was no more life in him. And what do you think Ron DeSantis had to say about that? Did you hear what he tweeted? He said, "We must defeat the Soros-funded DAs, stop the left's pro-criminal agenda, and take back the streets for law-abiding citizens. We stand with good Samaritans like Daniel Penny, the Marine. Let's show this Marine America's got his back." Ron DeSantis tweeting about that sad event on a New York City subway when a man's life was snuffed out over the course of 15 minutes as others were watching. And this Marine, former Marine, thought he was doing the right thing by holding this man down and snuffing the life out of him. Did he mean to kill him? I don't know. But I think if you're going to put somebody in a chokehold for 15 minutes, you could expect that they might die. One party looks out for the people with compassion and respect for each individual. And one party thinks that cruelty is the point. What do you think? You have an opinion? You want to share your opinion? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say. This is from USA Today, May 13th. Daniel Penny, the former Marine, to face criminal charges. It says here in USA Today, as a memorial service next week, which is this week, for Jordan Neely is being organized, his killer, Daniel Penny, awaits trial, where prosecutors will seek a grand jury indictment on a charge of manslaughter. On Friday, this would have been just over a week ago, Penny was arrested. I guess it was this past Friday that he was arrested. On Friday, Penny was arrested less than 24 hours after Manhattan prosecutors announced a charge of manslaughter, and then he was released on bond. The 24-year-old could face up to 15 years in prison for administering a fatal chokehold on Neely, a 30-year-old black man experiencing homelessness, on May 1st after an altercation on board the subway. In the days following Neely's death, New York police failed to release substantial details about what happened on board the subway car leading up to the chokehold, as well as what happened in the minutes leading up to the arrival of the police. A medical examiner ruled Neely's death a homicide caused by depression of the neck. Lawyers for Penny, a white U.S. Marine Corps veteran, say he acted in self-defense. Bystanders on board the subway on May 1st have said Neely did not physically assault anyone in the moments leading up to Penny grabbing him from behind, lawyers say. This story goes on, and I will continue in just a minute. Let's go to the phones, though, and talk to Tom from West Allis. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's nice to hear from you. What do you have to say today?
I am very agitated and disturbed and other adjectives with the whole DeSantis and Green and all their comments. I mean, to me, this puts us a big, giant step backwards with their comments about people with mental health issues and all that. All that guy had to do was subdue him enough until authorities arrived who could take care of him from there. I have a brother who has mental illness, and he too can get a little out of hand, not violently, but verbally and stuff. But, you know, and I don't know what this guy was doing to what he was doing, unless he was yelling at people or what have you. But yeah, the cops should have been called to take care of him. And if this Marine would have just stepped up, subdued him enough, or at least hold him, not choke him to death, would have probably been a far better thing and more understanding to most people. But I think this whole Republican Party and their ideas of tough on crime, all these other falsities for people with mental illness. They put people with mental illness in prisons. They don't put them in any kind of psychiatric ward or anything like that, like they used to. But they just continue with this, get tough on crime, get everyone mad, and these people who stand behind DeSantis and his ilk really annoy me and scare me.
Yeah, I would agree, Tom. I would agree 100% with you. Thank you for the call. It's a strange thing, you know. I would like to hear from some Republicans too, you know. I mean, what is it about inflicting cruelty on other people that is so enjoyable that you want to vote for people that support that? I don't know. I just don't understand how some people think that you know, being tough on crime and killing the criminal who in this case wasn't even committing a crime. You know, according to the news reports, this gentleman, Mr. Neely, was well known on the subway, and he often did Michael Jackson impersonations on the subway, and people knew him for that. But on this particular day, he was distraught. He was having a difficult time, and he was yelling at people on the subway about the fact that he was hungry and he was thirsty. He didn't have a home, and he didn't care what happened to him at that point. And what do you think would have happened if somebody was nice to him and offered him a drink or some food or a kind word? Would things have been different? I was reading from this story in the USA Today about this incident and what's going on. By the way, if you have an opinion on this topic or anything else we've discussed this morning, feel free to call. The number is 844-967-2789. The story that I'm reading is from the USA Today. And the next portion of it says, what charges is Daniel Penny facing? Daniel Penny is the Marine who took the life of Jordan Neely. It says here that nearly 2 weeks after administering a fatal chokehold on Neely, prosecutors announced Penny would be charged with second-degree manslaughter. On Friday, a few days ago, lawyer Lennon Edwards said the Manhattan district attorney admitted to him he could not recall a single other instance in the past 25 years where a suspect in a death case was released from custody after police secured a confession and video evidence, as in the case of Penny. 18 minutes after 9 o'clock right now, we're going to take a break. Stick around. Back on the other side, you're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. What they do. Welcome back, everybody. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. Thank you for tuning in on your local civic media radio station. We've been discussing several topics today. Just before the break, we were talking about compassion, respect for people. Which political party is the party of compassion and respect for people? And which party believes cruelty is the point? It's fun to be cruel to people. Could you narrow it down? Could you boil it down to those two things? Say that one party shows compassion and respect for Americans, for the American citizen, and the other party does not? I think you could. We were talking about the killing of Jordan Neely on the subway a couple weeks ago in New York. Daniel Penny, former Marine, arrested and charged with second-degree manslaughter. And we'll get back to this story in just a second. I wanted to go to the phones again, though. It looks like Tom from L.A. is calling back. Tom, you got something else you want to add? Let me hear what you have to say.
Yeah, Stu, it's really interesting because you're right. There is one party that is for We the People, and one party that's for the billionaire class and cruelty. But what I thought was really interesting is that it infuriates me. I am a Christian. Other people are different denominations or whatever, but I follow in the footsteps of Christ. And what you said there, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was homeless, you gave me a home. Mm-hmm. Sounds to me like Jesus Christ was the original liberal, the bleeding heart liberal.
And, yeah. Now, you don't think that
what you do to the least of these, you do unto me. These people, and that's coming straight words from the guy that headed up the, you know, the religion. So
yeah.
All of these Christians in name only, Chinos, they got this all wrong. And I just really appreciate you pointing that out, because the Republican Party is about cruelty. I also wanted to give another website. It's called selectacandidatequiz.com. Selectacandidatequiz.com. And it's all about policy. And you vote on the policy. You don't even know what you're voting for or who you're voting for. But what it does at the end is it tells who it is that you should vote for in terms of policy. So I would really, really urge everybody, take the quiz, because I have a lot of Republican friends that have taken it, and they're like, oh, my God, it shows I should be voting for Joe Biden, or oh, I should be voting for Bernie Sanders. And they don't realize it. But it's called selectacandidatequiz.com. And just thank you for pointing out exactly, you know, what party it is that is for we the people, and what party is for the billionaire class. Because you probably can draw, especially people like the Bradley Foundation there in Wisconsin right now, that's trying to cut back on all the voting lock boxes all over the place because of the fact that they know that in the cities there's more voters that will vote Democratic. So please continue to do that, Stu. Thanks a lot. Appreciate everything you do.
Yeah, one thing, Tom, before you go. Let me ask you this. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm
Tom? Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, so what you're saying, though, it sounds like, is that you believe that if Jesus were on that subway and saw a gentleman who was yelling out that he was hungry and he was thirsty and he didn't have a home, what you're saying is that you don't think that Jesus would have grabbed him around the neck and held him for 15 minutes until life was snuffed out of his body?
Just can't believe that he would have done that.
All right, Tom, thanks.
I can't believe that you would have done that.
Yeah, thanks as usual, man. Have a great day. Hey, getting back to this story here from the USA Today, this is talking about the charges that Daniel Penny is facing now. And it said that I want to go over this one line that I said that I read last before I stopped reading the story here. It said that on Friday, lawyer Lennon Edwards said the Manhattan District Attorney admitted to him The Manhattan District Attorney admitted to him he could not recall a single other instance in the past 25 years where a suspect in a death case was released from custody after police secured a confession and video evidence, as in the case of Penny, the Marine. I'm going to take a break in a minute. I just want to get to a little bit more of this story. It says here, quote, he should have been arrested on the spot, end quote, the day of the incident, said Edwards, a lawyer for Neely's family. On Friday, a judge authorized Penny's release on $100,000 bond and ordered him to surrender his passport and not to leave New York without approval. Edwards said the district attorney had told Neely's father this week to expect a possible indictment in June. Thomas Kenneth, a lawyer for Penny, said Penny didn't mean to harm Neely and is dealing with the situation with the, quote, integrity and honor that is characteristic of who he is and characteristic of his honorable service in the United States Marine Corps, end quote. Penny is due back in court on July 17th. A second-degree manslaughter charge in New York will require the jury to find that a person has engaged in reckless conduct that creates an unjustifiable risk of death and then consciously disregards that risk. The law also requires that conduct be a gross deviation from how a reasonable person would act in a similar situation. So that's the story for now. We'll get to a little bit more of that after the break. Stick around, folks. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back, everybody. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. I'll be here for a few days. Earl taking some well-deserved time off. And just before the break, we were talking about the tragic incident in the subway car in New York City a couple weeks ago where a man was killed by a former Marine who held him in a chokehold for 15 minutes. And we were also discussing, you know, I guess it started when I said that there's one party that looks out for billionaires and corporations, and there's another party that looks out for the people. And then we kind of narrowed it down and said there is one party that has respect for the people and compassion for people, and then there's another party that believes cruelty is the point. After reading those tweets from Ron DeSantis and Marjorie Taylor Greene, you can only come to that summation. In the story I was reading from the USA Today before the break, it says here that Penny, the Marine, had never met Neely, the man he killed, before their encounter on the train, according to attorneys for Neely's family. What happened on the New York City subway? After Neely had been yelling on board a subway car and threw his jacket on the ground, Penny held him in a chokehold for several minutes while Neely flailed and tried to escape his grasp, according to witness accounts. According to bystanders, Neely had been yelling about how hungry and tired he was, saying, quote, "I don't have food. I don't have a drink. I'm fed up. I don't mind going to jail and getting life in prison. I'm ready to die." This is obviously a desperate man. And he was yelling. But I think people who ride the subway in New York City will tell you that's not unusual to see someone yelling, to see someone that's desperate, to hear them yelling. And they probably didn't feel threatened by him. I don't think he had bad intentions of hurting anyone. He was crying out for help. So a former Marine comes along. Anyway, the story goes on and says, video captured by a freelance journalist who was also riding the subway shows Penny with his arms wrapped around Neely's neck and his legs wrapped around the man's waist and thighs from behind. After a few minutes, Penny releases Neely from his grasp, and he lies motionless on the floor of the subway car, which is stopped at the Broadway Lafayette MTA station, the video shows. Penny also had the man in the same chokehold prior to the start of the widely publicized video. Police have said they responded the afternoon of May 1st to a 911 call about a physical fight inside the station, and when they arrived, they found Neely unconscious and unresponsive. He was later pronounced dead at Lenox Hill Hospital in Greenwich Village, police said. Quote, "How is someone allowed to be on the subway in New York City and be assaulted for 15 minutes straight and never receive any help, never receive any assistance? The MTA needs to answer for that," said attorney Dante Mills at a Friday press conference. In the preceding days, police failed to release substantial details about what happened between the two men and other passengers. Assistant District Attorney Joshua Steinglass said this week, Neely had been making threats and scaring passengers when Penny approached him from behind and placed him in a chokehold. Speaking Friday, Edwards said, quote, "The issue of fear is not isolated to the subways and it's not isolated to New York. It's something that all of us need to address, but we need to be mindful of why we feel fear and who we're projecting our fear on and what steps we take to remedy ourselves of fear." The deadly chokehold itself could have lasted as long as 15 minutes, he said. Neely was a Manhattan street and subway performer known for his impersonation of the 1980s singer Michael Jackson. He attended high school in Bayonne, New Jersey, just across the upper bay from the island of Manhattan, according to Friday's press conference. In the years leading up to his death, Neely experienced homelessness off and on, according to his family's lawyers. Sometimes he lived with his aunt and her partner, and other times he lived at a Manhattan shelter or on the streets. In the months and weeks leading up to his death, there were times when Neely got mental health treatment at a facility, lawyers for his family said Friday. But the facility he had been going to sent him on his way against his family's wishes, who felt that Neely wasn't ready to come home yet, lawyers said. The facility said Neely was released from care because he was no longer in crisis, and they required the use of his bed, Mills said at a Friday press conference. After Neely's death, attorneys for his family said he started experiencing mental health problems at age 14 when his mother was murdered. In an interview with USA Today, Edwards shared how Neely's mother was strangled at age 36 in the apartment where she and her teen son lived. The woman's boyfriend strangled her in her bedroom, and when her son tried to tell his mother goodbye for leaving for school that day, her murderer told him his mother was asleep and not to bother her, Edwards said. When 14-year-old Neely returned home that afternoon, he learned the man had stuffed his mother's body in a suitcase and threw it onto a highway in the Bronx. Quote, "That's the kind of trauma that can cause anyone to unravel," Edwards said. "This is a family that's extremely burdened." Advocates for Neely say a cycle of violence, mental health problems, and poverty were what led to the tragedy aboard the subway. Quote, "Jordan Neely was a survivor of violence," Jamila Hodge, executive director of the national violence prevention group Equal Justice USA, told USA Today, quote, "If we can see him first as a survivor of violence, it gives us a different perspective on what happened in the subway and helps us understand the trajectory his life had taken over the past 16 years. People who knew him in the street performance community said he would do his Michael Jackson impersonation in the Times Square transit hub and was a beloved part of many New Yorkers' daily commute. Street performers who knew him described him as kind and gifted. They also said he suffered from worsening mental health and sunk into a depression as a result of his mother's 2007 death. Terry Tedesco, a backup dancer in the Michael Jackson tribute act, Michael's Mirror, said many in the street performer community were searching for Neely, worried about his absence in recent years. Quote, "We were in shock to find now that he was living homeless," she said. "We feel terrible," end quote. Roger Abrams, a community health representative, said he saw Neely on the subway a week before his death. Neely was disheveled and told people he was hungry and in need of spare change. Abrams said he approached Neely and asked him why he no longer performs. Quote, "I haven't been feeling well," Abrams remembered Neely saying. He also had several arrests to his name, including the 2021 assault of a 67-year-old woman leaving a subway station. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said at a recent press conference, Neely was a New Yorker who struggled with tragedy, trauma, and mental illness, and that his last words on board the subway were a, quote, cry for help. Here's a quote from the mayor. He said, his death is a tragedy that never should have happened. Democratic New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called Neely's death a murder and criticized officials' response to the incident, quote, this honestly feels like a new low. Not being able to clearly condemn a public murder because the victim was of a social status someone would deem too low to care about, Ocasio-Cortez said. Well, there you have it. That's the latest information on a tragic death of Jordan Neely in a New York City subway car. If you have any comments on that, feel free to call 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. And I wanted to get to another topic that's, I kind of been putting this off. I wanted to make sure everybody was done with breakfast. Have you heard about what's going on with Rudy Giuliani? The fact that he was sued yesterday in court for alleged sexual harassment. It's a crazy story. I guess this happened between 2019 and 2021. And that was, of course, the time when Rudy Giuliani was the attorney for the previous president, trying to help him win that election at all costs. And evidently, Rudy found a woman who he thought was attractive, and offered her a job because he wanted her around him, offered her $1 million a year, although after she started working for him, he told her that he couldn't pay her right away because he's going through a really nasty divorce and that he can't have money going out to more people right now. So he paid her small sums of money, kind of on the down low, just to keep her around, and started, I guess you could say, sexually harassing her. And it kind of snowballed out of control. So now she is suing him. This suit was brought yesterday, and I'll get into it a little bit just before we take a break. By the way, Calvin, how much time do we have? A couple minutes, a minute or two?
Yeah, we're coming up on 2 minutes.
All right, then I'll just give you a little bit of this before we go to the break. This is from USA Today. It says, Rudy Giuliani is sued for alleged sexual harassment. The plaintiff also says he made racist remarks. A former associate of Rudy Giuliani sued him Monday for alleged abuse of power and harassment, claiming he hired her off the books for sexual favors. Noelle Dunphy, who said she began working for Giuliani in 2019, said in a lawsuit filed in New York State court that she has tapes of the former Donald Trump attorney making sexist, racist, and anti-Semitic remarks. Does that surprise you? Doesn't surprise me. The story goes on and says, Ted Goodman, an advisor to Giuliani, said the 78-year-old former New York City mayor and Trump advisor unequivocally denies the allegations raised by Ms. Dunphy, and every news outlet covering this story must include the fact that an ex-partner accused her, end quote, of taking advantage of other wealthy men. Mayor Giuliani's lifetime of public service speaks for itself, and he will pursue all available remedies and counterclaims, Goodman said. In her filings, Dunphy said Giuliani hired her as, quote, director of business development at a salary of $1 million plus expenses. At the time, she said, Giuliani asked Dunphy to keep her hiring a secret and defer her salary because he was going through an acrimonious divorce and his wife and her attorneys were keeping a sharp eye on his cash flow. Quote, unfortunately, Giuliani's seemingly generous offers were a sham motivated by his secret desire to pursue a sexual relationship with Ms. Dunphy, in total disregard for the restraint that should have protected her as his employee and client, the lawsuit said. We'll continue with this story. It gets really crazy. I don't even know if I'm going to get into the craziest details because it might be too much for a radio audience. I'd suggest you read on this yourself, but I'll get to some more of this after we take a break. Stick around, everybody. You are tuned in to The Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back, everybody. You are tuned into the Earl Ingram Show on your local Civic Media radio station. I am Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to join the conversation, feel free. Phone number is 844-967-2789. Discussing several topics today. If you have a comment on any of the topics we've discussed so far, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. And just before the break, we were discussing this lawsuit that was brought yesterday against Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, a guy who, wasn't he the, was he a district attorney or prosecutor for New York City? And that's how he became famous and then became mayor. And of course, was mayor on 9/11. People thought he did a pretty good job at that time, but since then, it seems like he's kind of spiraled out of control. Evidently, he drinks quite a bit, and just before the break, I was going over a story from USA Today, and I left off where they have several quotes from this lawsuit where Giuliani makes... he goes on alcohol-drenched rants, is what it says here. But he goes on, and they have quotes in here from Giuliani where he's talking about Hispanic people, Black people, Jewish people, and nothing he has to say is very kind. And I'm not going to read all that stuff over the radio. In fact, I think we're going to switch to a different story on the same subject. This is from Politico, talking about the same story. Former Giuliani employee alleges sexual assault and harassment in $10 million lawsuit. And it says, a former employee of Rudy Giuliani is suing him for $10 million over allegations of sexual assault and harassment, wage theft, and other misconduct, including several instances that were recorded, according to a complaint filed Monday. Noel Dunphy, the employee bringing the lawsuit, was hired by the former New York City mayor and Trump lawyer in January of 2019. From the start, Giuliani worked aggressively to hire her, offering her a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work for an annual salary of $1 million as his director of business development, Dunphy alleges. It was an opportunity that was too good to pass up, according to the filing. But the offers were a sham, motivated by Giuliani's desire to pursue a sexual relationship with Dunphy, and the abuse began almost immediately, she alleges. The 70-page filing details multiple instances of sexual harassment and assault, including accusations that Giuliani forced Dunphy to perform oral sex on him in his Upper East Side apartment while he took phone calls. Giuliani aggressively pursued a sexual relationship with Dunphy, the filing says, and made clear that satisfying his sexual demands was a requirement of her job. He continually pressured her into sex and was unconcerned about whether Dunphy had given consent. The complaint says, this reminds me of how earlier we were talking about how some people just don't have respect for other people. It says here that Giuliani did not respond to requests for comment, but a spokesperson told the Associated Press that the former mayor vehemently denied the allegations. Quote, Mayor Giuliani's lifetime of public service speaks for itself, and he will pursue all available remedies and counterclaims. Giuliani's communications advisor, Ted Goodman, told the AP. In addition to his sexual demands, Giuliani went on alcohol-drenched rants that included sexist, racist, and anti-Semitic remarks, many of which were recorded according to the filing. I'm going to go on with the story in just a minute. I want to take another phone call, though. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning, Cassandra. How are you? Thank you for calling.
Hi, Stu. I remember when you were working with Earl early in the morning, so it's nice to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you.
I just would like to return to your two previous topics. What mm-hmm. you are discussing with Rudy Giuliani, there's nothing new there. He has been known for making racist and very intolerant statements about people of different races and women, and that's nothing new as far as I'm concerned. But I would like to talk about the Tammy Baldwin Senate race, and I don't know a lot about Tiffany, the challenger. But something that I would say is I would love to see Tammy Baldwin get a strong challenge for the Senate race. Her last two, well, her first one with Tommy Thompson, the Republican Party really was just tired of him, and there wasn't just a lot of energy to support Thompson in the first race. The second race, Leah Volkner, she was just too wacko for a lot of people, or I would say Democrats and independents, to get behind. And so I would love to have her record vetted. She's been in the Senate 2 years, and
two terms,
there's a
right?
lot that I don't know about her record. And I'm going to give some advice to the Republican Party. Donald Trump gave you a path to really make your Senate races competitive. Now, Herschel Walker, if he didn't have all of the personal baggage, and if he had his mental faculties all intact, I think he could have taken down Raphael Warnock. And so if the Republicans really want that seat from Tammy Baldwin, they should find a black Republican or a gay Republican to take her on. I don't think a white male is going to do it. So that's my opinion, Stu. I would love to get your reaction to that.
Okay, Cassandra, thank you for calling, and thank you for sharing your opinion. I don't have much time before we have to go to this next break, but I would say that Tammy Baldwin's done a great job in her two terms as senator from Wisconsin. I think many veterans will tell you that she has worked hard to help clear up the Veterans Administration problems, not only in Wisconsin, but across the country. And also her Buy American programs have been now incorporated by the Biden administration. Let's take a break. We'll be back after the news. Stick around. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.